This is the TAN Talk Radio Network.
If tomorrow all the things were gone, I'd work for all my life, and I had to start again with just my children and my wife. I thank my lucky stars to be living here today, 'cause the flag still stands for freedom and they can't take that away.
Who's singing that?
And I'm proud to be an American, where at least I know I'm free. And I won't forget the men who died, who gave that right to me. And I gladly stand up next to you and defend her still today, 'cause there ain't no doubt I love this land. God bless the USA.
Hey, that's Lane Greenwood coming at you. A little reflection on 9/11, of course. Good morning. Welcome to Freedom Works. I am Paul Malloy, and along with Big Ed Davis, thank you for joining us on this Friday, September the 11th. Can you believe it's the 19th anniversary of 9/11? Indeed, it is. Everybody seems to remember where they were when that first plane went into the Twin Towers. I was on my way to work in Montgomery, Alabama. I was in the car at the time, and didn't even know about it because I didn't have the radio on. I was actually driving in. It was about an hour away from where I was living, and when I got in there, all the people were crowded around the television. That's when I found out about it. But exactly 19 years ago, Al-Qaeda launched a vicious attack on our homeland. They used four hijacked airliners. Nearly 3,000 people died from it, men, women, and children, at the World Trade Center, at the Pentagon, and on a quiet field near Shanksville, Pennsylvania. So many heroes to talk about. We would never have time to talk about all of them, but just think of all of the firemen and the policemen. I think over 300 gave their lives. Think about all of those passengers on that plane in Shanksville. Tried to commandeer that plane. Saved it possibly from crashing into the White House. You never know who's going to be a hero, ever, when the moment comes. It can be the last person you would suspect that will do the right thing. But that's what makes heroes. People you don't expect to do the unexpected. So here we are today, and let's be thankful. Let's be thankful we live in the USA. In the meantime, we will be talking in a few minutes with Christine McDaniel of the Mercatus Center about the difference between Donald Trump and Joe Biden on trade. It should be interesting because Christine served as a senior trade economist in the Obama White House. So let's see how that discussion goes, right? And speaking of trade, President Trump, he constantly talks about how many auto plants are being built on his watch. But is he exaggerating? We're going to go and look, and we're going to discuss it with the proprietor of the barber pole, Andrew Ceresi. I want to hear what Andrew has to say. And by the way, our eye in the northern sky is going to join Andrew. His brother Angelo is going to be calling in as well. And we're going to find out what's going on in Rochester. Is that stuff still going on, all that rioting? Rochester, New York? That's where Angelo lives, so we'll talk to him about it. And dust off our duck. A Michigan school district includes an anti-Trump question on its student exam, making it qualify for inclusion in our campus quackery. And we will highlight Wilbur, our duck, when we talk about that as well. And in our ultimate top 10, you know, football, the NFL season, believe it or not, it's upon us. So we're going to give you, according to Arena, the top 10 greatest NFL players of all time. Stay tuned. I wonder if Ed knows or thinks he knows who the number one player is of all time. We'll find out. He's got a smile on his face. He thinks he knows.
We're red and pewter on Sunday.
We're not going to say anything right now, and don't ruin it. Freedom Works is sponsored in part by Andrew's Master Barber Shop for the best haircut in Tampa Bay, you guys. I am guaranteeing you, you got to get over to Andrew's. You got to make an appointment. You know how that works. It's in Dunedin. It's on the it's on Overcash Drive in the Overcash Plaza just north of State Road 580. So call for your appointment, 727-733-3773. Okay. So the White House is reportedly considering issuing a new round of stimulus checks and executive actions that will help, despite the Congress not being able to somehow get anything passed on this coronavirus situation. Trump officials have discussed efforts to unilaterally provide support. And this would include money for the airline industry. The airline industry has suffered, as you can well imagine right now. And they've never operated with huge profits. And right now they're very beleaguered. So the Trump people are thinking about sending some money their way. And also federal unemployment benefits. They're weighing the idea of going it alone without Congress on allocating more money for school vouchers as well. So very interesting. Now, can they do it? Can they do it without Congress? You got to remember, it's the House of Representatives that has spending authority, not the White House, not even the Senate. All spending bills originate in the House of Representatives. So we'll see where all of that goes. And also, this is very curious. This is a Hillary Clinton trick. Newly released records from the Department of Justice show that the cell phones of multiple lawyers in Robert Mueller's investigation of the Trump administration, their cell phones were wiped away of data. Wiped out. Gone. And there were various excuses, alibis during the probe. At least several dozen phones. Several dozen. I'm not talking about two or three. Were wiped of information because of so-called forgotten passwords, irreparable screen damage, loss of the phone itself, intentional deletion, or other reasons. Now, why did that happen? Because the, what is that organization, subpoenaed documents in the Mueller investigation, which included data on phone cell phones. So that's why all of a sudden, mysteriously, they disappear. Doesn't that sound like shades of Hillary Clinton? Am I wrong about that?
Actually, it might have been Hillary. She just was confused. She thought they said phones, not emails.
Somehow she got all the cell phones of the entire Mueller investigation team and then picked and chose which phones to delete the info from. That's very curious.
It's like if you're a friend of the Clintons, you disappear.
Well, the data disappeared, that is for sure. Okay, we are going to take our break. When we come back, I'm looking forward to this. Christine McDaniel of the Mercatus Center will join us. We're going to talk about trade policies, Trump versus Biden.
Is the Tantalk Radio Network.
Hey guys, Andrew's Master Barber Shop is open for business. The best haircutter in Tampa Bay, standing ready to make you look like a million. but you'll need to call to grab a time that's right for you. So call 733-3773. That's 733-3773. And then get ready for a treat. No waiting, beautiful, clean, and safe facilities, the best haircut you'll ever experience, and a great price. You can't ask for more, guys. That's Andrew's Master Barbershop in the Overcash Plaza in Dunedin. Call 733-3773. That's 733-3773.
If you would like to become a wholesale buyer of the premium quality longevity product that you hear about right here on the Tantalk Radio Network for personal service, you can pick up the phone right now and call Lola at 727-441-3311. Again, that's Lola at 727-441-3311. Or for even faster service, log on to TantalkHealth.com. That's TantalkHealth.com. Here's your health and longevity.
Listen to the latest pet trends with benefits on the Pet Buzz every Saturday morning from 9 to 10 a.m. Join pet trendologist Charlotte Reed and veterinarian Dr. Michael Fleck as they talk all things pets, from animal health and wellness, money-saving tips, celebrity gossip, breaking news, and more. Their expert guests are in the know and in the now. To learn more about this unique program and its hosts, tune into the show on the Tantalk Radio Network.
This is the Tantalk Radio Network.
We are back on September of the 11th, 2020. And delighted to have Christine McDaniel join us. Christine is a former senior trade economist in the White House Council of Economic Advisors for the Obama administration, and currently a senior research fellow with the Mercatus Center. We're going to talk with Christine about a piece that she has recently penned in Forbes magazine on Biden versus Trump on trade. Christine, welcome to Freedom Works.
Nice to be here. Thank you.
Well, it's our pleasure to have you. And this is always something that I guess we all get a little fuzzy on, you know, trade and actually what, in this case, what Trump or Biden really believes or would do. Now, as far as Donald Trump goes, we've gotten 4 years behind us. And we know he's, you know, he always talks big on, you know, doing things in America. And how we have been suffering at the expense of China. But we don't really, I don't know that we really know what Joe Biden's philosophy would be if he becomes president. Could you give us a little sampling of what you think he would do as president regarding trade, as an example with China?
Yeah, so, and by the way, real quickly, I was actually under President Bush at the Council of Economic
Advisors. Oh, I apologize.
Oh, no, that's okay.
You know what? It says, and I'm going to, no, that's a big error. It had that at the top of your info.
But, you know, as economists, you know, yeah. I mean, you know, both Republicans, Democrats, they all have the same questions for economists.
Yes, indeed.
But my
apologies.
Under
President Bush.
So Biden has been fairly silent on his trade policy agenda in terms of his, you know, campaigning for president. And in a way, I think that's a bit of a relief, because the most candidates will, you know, they usually will say the same type of thing. They want made in America. They don't like the trade deals that their predecessors have made. But then they get into the office and do something different. Although President Trump is really the only candidate in my lifetime that once he got to office, he did what he said he was going to do. And I would argue that was largely to our detriment in terms of the tariffs and a few other things. But Biden has not said very much about his trade policy agenda. When you look at his platform, he talks about wanting to make things in all of America, across all America. And to me, that speaks more to, you know, economic, maybe geographic mobility, or, you know, instead of having everything done in a few, you know, clusters, you know, kind of spreading it around. But that's really not trade policy. So, mm-hmm. To be honest, it's not really clear yet what he would do on trade policy. And that might be, on purpose. On the other hand, his team has been fairly vocal on their China outlook and their concerns about an encroaching China as the Trump administration. And so in terms of Trump's trade policies on China, broadly speaking, I would be surprised if he undid much of that.
Christine, is there really a lot of difference between what Joe Biden would do and what Donald Trump is trying to do? I'm thinking about, for instance, both of them are courting the manufacturing unions, trying to get them in their on their side, and talking Made in America, as you mentioned, which means, you know, sort of like we're gonna deal with these other countries and try to make more of our products here and less of our products purchased from somewhere else. I mean, is there really? As an example, let's look at China now. You know, we've got mixed emotions about China right now. Even Donald Trump has changed his tune because of the virus. Is there any difference between how Joe Biden would treat, as an example, our trading with China and the importing and exporting as opposed to Trump?
Well, that's a good question. I mean, there's a lot of, I think the outward rhetoric would be very different, but in terms of the actual policies, it's not clear how different it would be. You know, if you look at Biden's track record in the Senate and as vice president, he always had his eye on China. His national security staff always had their eyes on China. They didn't outwardly, there was less anti-China rhetoric, but in terms of the policies themselves, and even on our trade institutions, it was under Obama Biden that that the U.S. took a pretty drastic step, first step in terms of noting that they wanted real reform of those trade rules, and it was Trump though who just went ahead and said, well, we're pulling out, right? So Biden's approach is more engagement, working behind the scenes, trying to get a deal. I think he's sometimes willing to give up a couple things to get the bigger deal as long as he gets the main things. Where Trump's approach is just to, just go after it, burn it down, and then try to rebuild it back up. I think, we'll see if what that means for if there was a second Trump term. Sometimes in a second term, presidents, after they've tried what they thought they want could work, then they kind of come around to, now maybe we do need to work with our allies. But in terms of China policy and having a stronger approach on state-owned enterprises, subsidies, technology, the tech wars are going to continue. The U.S. will probably continue, regardless of the administration, continue to ban particular imports from China, to ban particular exports to China. There's a question of, will we pursue stronger trading relations with Taiwan? That is a real sore point with China. And Trump may or may not have the audacity to do that. Biden may or may not have the audacity to do that. But we have some, very important economic relations with Taiwan so far have been outdone by security concerns from China. Now the cards are changing a bit, and it will be interesting to see how, the next administration will deal with Taiwan.
Indeed. We're talking with Christine McDaniel, former senior trade economist under President Bush. I had it under Obama, of all things. And we're talking a little bit about kind of the differences between Donald Trump and Joe Biden when it comes to trade. Christine, all bluff and bravado, maybe with Trump, out there. And then he, on the one hand, he'll say, we've been done wrong by all these different countries, especially China, with trade. But at the same time, he says, and these leaders are very good friends of mine. I mean, it just sort of goes back and forth. But you mentioned Ronald Reagan in this piece in Forbes magazine, where you wrote a piece on the differences between these two. And you said that Ronald Reagan was remembered as one of the most one of the most free trade presidents we ever had.
Yes.
And yet maybe that wasn't always the case. Go ahead.
Right. Well, you know, and my, some of my colleagues, you know, who are diehard libertarians keep talking about Reagan as he was this, you know, free trade god. And he is truly remembered that way. But if you go back and just look at the policies that he oversaw, you know, he oversaw one of the most restrictive trade policies on autos that and we live with it to this day. But yet he did it with that demeanor. You know, he has one of those personalities that, you know, you could leave his office with a warm and fuzzy feeling about your future and kind of forgetting how you just got fired.
Yes.
He has that way about him. And so he is remembered that way. But on the other hand, he did get certain things done on trade policy that definitely were not considered free trade. In terms of Trump talking about these other leaders as, you know, his friends, you know, I read Nikki Haley's autobiography, and she has an interesting point, you know, and for, you know, with the whole North Korea discussions and how he talked about Kim, and he was really criticized for that. And Haley said, look, you know, she understood why he was doing that, you know, but yet, you know, there were also downsides to it. You know, he does it because he thinks he's going to get something from it, right? We're just not used to a president like that. We're just not used to the president of the United States endearing himself to leaders of North Korea and Russia and, you know, Venezuela and so it really has taken a lot of people off guard. But in terms of the economics, you know, what have we gotten from it? Well, on China, we've gotten very little from it. You know, I don't think there is any grand bargain to be made with China. At least there hasn't been so far. I don't think state capitalism was ever on the table, despite the Trump trades team's, you know, best intentions. You know, and China's approach is truly immune to tariffs. And regardless of any tariffs we put on, it does not seem like they're going to be changing their ways anytime soon. Meanwhile, the tariffs are just making things more expensive in the United States. The U.S. economy was able to withstand some of that, in the early days when we were going gangbusters. Remember, unemployment was, what, like 5%? It was unseen, unheard of. Well, now with the COVID downturn, you know, those tariffs are going to bite more. And so I think the economic policy team for the next administration, whoever that will be under increased pressure to lift the tariffs and to eliminate some of these burdensome trade regulations.
Right. Final question, Christine. I've always tried to figure out the difference between NAFTA and the USMCA. Now, Donald Trump treated NAFTA like a poison. And I never could figure out exactly what the poison was in NAFTA. And then he brokers a deal called the USMCA, United States, Mexico, Canada agreement. Is there really a lot of difference between the two? Is it better than NAFTA?
Well, as an economist, I would say no, it is not better than NAFTA. In some ways, it's worse than NAFTA because it's so restrictive for U.S. companies. You know, if you're a steelmaker in the United States, you're happy. But if you're, you know, one of the hundreds of thousands of U.S. manufacturers that do steel, you're not happy, right? So that's the problem with trade restrictions, right? There's always downstream effects that are spread across a lot more people. And so you have one very, very happy group and a whole bunch of people who are just a little bit less happy but are not as well organized. So we saw, in a way, the Trans-Pacific Partnership was the updated NAFTA, but bringing in more countries, right? And that was the U.S. approach to deal with China. When Trump withdrew the United States from that agreement and said he wanted to redo NAFTA, that was seen as a big lost opportunity. And then looking at what he got out of a new NAFTA, it was, a disappointment to many because we did get some things on, there was a really good e-commerce and technology chapter in there, digital trade chapter. There were some really good provisions on subsidies and state-owned enterprises, but other chapters, you know, were not as free trade as most economists would have hoped for. But, you know, moving forward, maybe we could take the parts of USMCA that we like and maybe then rejoin the Trans-Pacific Partnership and beefing up those subsidy chapters that, you know, arguably were not strong enough in the first place. So, right. You know, it's never over, right? I mean, there's always going to be another round.
Exactly right. Exactly right. Christine McDaniel, really appreciate your coming on. Such an interesting and important thing, talking about all of this. I hope to talk with you again down the road.
Thank you so much, sir. Such a pleasure.
All right. There she goes, Christine McDaniel, from the Bush administration, now senior research fellow at the Mercatus Center. Going to take our break. When we come back, I think we're going to have double trouble. We got Angelo and Andrew, the Sorace brothers. Hang on.
God, I hate you to love me, let's please don't tease. If I can hold you, then let me squeeze. My heart goes round and round. My love comes a tumbling down. You leave me breathless.
This is the Tantalk Radio Network.
Hey guys, Andrew's Master Barber Shop is open for business. The best haircutter in Tampa Bay, standing ready to make you look like a million. But you'll need to call to grab a time that's right for you. So call 733-3773. That's 733-3773. And then get ready for a treat. No waiting, beautiful, clean, and safe facilities. The best haircut you'll ever experience and a great price. You can't ask for more, guys. That's Andrew's Master Barbershop in the Overcash Plaza in Dunedin. Call 733-3773. That's 733-3773.
It's a beautiful morning.
Hi, I'm Paul Allen, and I'm the host of Good Morning Clearwater. We are found right here on the Tantalk Network, 1340 AM and 106.1 FM, Monday through Friday, 8 a.m. to 10 a.m. We will concentrate on Pinellas County and focus on Clearwater and Clearwater Beach. Weather, traffic, local and national current events, sports, trivia contests, and plenty of giveaways. We want to show the world why Clearwater Beach was voted number one beach in America. Listen up every Monday through Friday, 8 a.m. to 10 a.m. to Good Morning Clearwater.
Are you a writer, inventor? Do you have questions about your intellectual property rights? Well, tune in every Tuesday and Thursday morning at 11 o'clock for Joy on Paper. Once a month, I will have a special guest, the writer's legal eagle, Bill Larson of Larson & Larson, who can answer your questions. Protect your valuable work. Email me your questions to patsy.radio@gmail.com and then listen in every Tuesday and Thursday at 11 a.m. right here on Tampa Bay's Tantalk Radio Network. That's patsy.radio@gmail.com.
This is the Tantalk Radio Network.
Hey, we are back. Freedom Works. We are here, by the way, every Monday, Tuesday, and Friday, 10 to 11 a.m. Eastern Time on the great Tantalk Radio Network. And we are delighted to have the brothers Sorace join us, both of them. We haven't talked with our buddy Angelo Sorace, our eye in the northern sky, for quite a while, and we got his brother Andrew, the master barber, as well. And before we get to either of them, and I think this may make them feel a bit uncomfortable, but I find this to be very interesting, and I wanted to read it. It has to do with how Donald Trump talks a lot about auto plants that are opening up under his watch. He says, under his watch, auto assembly plants have been added at an unprecedented rate in Michigan, Ohio, North Carolina, South Carolina, and possibly some other states. But the Center for Automotive Research, a group that tracks this kind of stuff, says there have been four new auto assembly plants announced since Trump took office. Three are in Michigan, and one are in Alabama. So I guess I would ask, let me start off with Angelo on this, if I might. Angelo, does Donald Trump tend to exaggerate things like...
Yeah, I think he does a little bit.
Okay. Because four is not opening up left and right kind of things. You know, like he uses the term like we've never seen before. I bet he's used like we've never seen before a million times. I mean, I love the guy in terms of voting for him. you know, and I think he is getting a lot of things done. But boy, he and P.T. Barnum, they could stand up there on that dais together, and I'd wonder which was which, you know?
He can sell, you know, he tries to sell. He's a business.
He is.
You know?
Yeah.
But the press doesn't give him the fair shake that they give Biden. I mean, let's face it, since day one, the press has been unfair to him, you know? So he's got to toot his own horn because nobody else is.
That's a good answer. I think you're right.
Andrew, you know, I mean, what's the poor guy supposed to do?
Yeah. Andrew, the master barber, what do you think about when Trump kind of exaggerates like that?
You guys call it exaggerates. I don't call it exaggerates at all.
Okay.
I want to know how many auto plants left the country.
Okay, that's a good one.
How many auto plants left the country? Okay.
Yeah.
And how many people were unemployed? All right. By everybody leaving, our auto industry was almost dead.
Mm-hmm.
So I would say, hell yeah, four plants coming back to this country. There's a lot of auto plants coming back, my friend. He's not exaggerating nothing. We had nothing. You guys, your glass is always half empty. Mine is always half full.
Well, no, I agree on that. I mean, a lot of auto plants did leave. I mean, parts are made in Mexico and assembled in the United States, if they're assembled in the United States. You know? So, I mean, in a sense like that, I mean, you know, auto plants did leave. Hopefully that they will be coming back.
Well, I think that Andrew, the barber, makes a good point, though. It's how many you save sometimes, not how many new ones, you know? I mean, if you're losing, 100 and you're bringing in four, that's not good math. But if you're saving 100 and not bringing in four, that's even better. So maybe that's true. Now, I got to go to something else here, and I think you'll both breathe a little easier on this one. Did you know that Joe Biden might be reading a teleprompter even when he is answering questions? Have you heard that?
Oh, yeah.
It might be.
listen.
What do you mean, might be? He told them to move it closer. So I'm typing them the answers. The guy can't answer this. Let me tell you something. I listened to that chick talking about trade agreements with Biden. The other thing Biden's going to trade is football cards because nobody even wants them anymore. Believe me. He ain't trading nothing. That guy gets in, he's going to destroy this country with his trade agreements. Him and his son own China. Come on. Look at his son tried to convince an auto factory in this country to be bought out by an armament factory from China.
Yeah, but wait a second. You don't understand. He brought his son Hunter over there. Hunter negotiated a great trade agreement.
Yeah, real for him.
Okay, here's what, and I was watching Fox News last night, and the former, or I should say, the spokesman for Joe Biden was on with Brett Baer, and
Yes, I did.
Former Vice President Biden's National Press Secretary attempted to deflect a question about whether Biden used the teleprompter to answer questions from regular Americans on Thursday. He says, here's his answer. The guy's name, by the way, what a name, T.J. Ducklow. Perfect name. Perfect name for a Biden spokesman. He says, we're not going to. This is straight from the Trump campaign talking points. And he says, and what it does, Brett, is it's trying to distract the American people. He wouldn't answer whether or not Biden was reading the answer.
What I want to know is who's giving him the answer.
Well, the whole thing is staged. That's the point. It's staged.
And somebody wrote the everything. Look at the guy had five people at one of his rallies the other day. Did you see that?
Yeah, and
they showed the Trump rally and they showed the Biden rally.
I know.
Biden's got five people in a freaking circle playing duck, duck, goose. What are you kidding me?
That's right. And the only people that were applauding were his relatives that they dragged in there. So I it was very sad to watch that. Okay, so it does seem like, and I'm going back to Angelo on this question. It does seem like, Angelo, that the tide is starting to shift a little bit. If you start looking at the so-called polls, back towards Trump, as we all thought it might occur as we got closer to the election. So let me ask you this. Andrew might tell you that Trump is going to win the state of New York. He already thinks that Trump is going to win possibly California. Now, I'm going to ask you, do you think Trump could win New York?
At the rate that Mario Cuomo and de Blasio are going, there is a pretty good possibility.
Yeah. Wouldn't that be something?
I mean, these two jokers have destroyed not only the state of New York, but the New York City itself. I mean, I think people are getting fed up. I mean, I know upstate New York, people are disgusted with Cuomo. Totally disgusted with the way he handled the COVID-19 crisis with the people dying. He tried to blame Trump on that one. And everybody knows he's the one that did it.
Yeah, that is so two-faced. Hey, speaking about your area, Rochester, we've had, what, all kinds of protesting.
Every night.
Is it still going on now?
Well, last night, I guess they had a celebration of Daniel Prude's life, where they had music and dancing and this and that.
Well, that's wonderful. Did he have a wonderful life prior to the incident?
I think he was a drug addict, to be honest with you.
Well, maybe he was feeling good.
He was on PCP, angel dust, which is probably one of the most potent drug things. And you got these people over here protesting. They want justice for mental health and this and that. But these are the same people that you'll see them smoking pot, doing crack cocaine down the streets and everything else, you know?
What about the beloved mayor of Rochester?
The whole police, the police chief resigned.
Yes.
The man's all resigned, you know.
Well, that's why I said, what about her? She's the only one left.
Yeah, she won't resign, no. She's digging in. I don't know who's going to want to be police chief. I mean, she threw those poor guys under the bus. She didn't give him the break. The previous police chief resigned, knowing he knew that he couldn't work with her.
Mm-hmm.
So Ron Singletary, real straight up guy. In fact, my son knows him, you know?
Yes.
Because my son works for the county as an investigator with Child Protective Services and stuff. He says he's a straight up guy and everything, you know?
Yeah.
And, you know, and I don't blame them. When you don't have the support of City Hall and the City Council, too. Now, they were complaining about the police using pepper balls and this and that. In the meantime, you know, just saying it's too stringent. In the meantime, these people, these protesters and rioters, they're throwing bricks, frozen water bottles at the cops. What are these guys supposed to do?
Yeah, as we've said many times on our show, every time one of these things breaks out, I think more votes go towards Trump. Donald Trump. I'm going to ask Angelo. Angelo, Bob Woodward, he's coming out with this book.
Yeah.
Conveniently, you know, weeks before the election, downplaying Trump in truthfulness. That Trump went in front of America and downplayed the dangerousness of the virus. I want your thought on that.
Well, I think he did the right thing. He was very open about it. Let's face it, Bob Woodward is no friend to any Republican president. He was, if you remember during the Watergate, he was, rambunctious against Richard Nixon and everything. And I think the president, you can't...
More than rambunctious, he was aiming his darts right at Nixon.
Right, and he's aiming his darts right at Donald Trump.
Okay, Andrew. Andrew, what I wanted your thought on Bob Woodward and his book.
First of all, everybody knows his word isn't worth a damn. Okay?
Mm-hmm.
Number two, the president was perfectly, his answer was perfect to what was going on. I don't want to cause a panic attack here. Look what happened with not even a panic attack. You couldn't get toilet paper, could you?
No. Couldn't even get hand sanitizer.
Do you guys want to have another War of the Worlds in 1937 where people were jumping out of buildings because they were panicked or were being attacked by aliens? You know how smart the American public is. All they had to do was cause a panic.
Yeah.
The guy handled it perfectly. He'd done the job perfectly. Biden would have been there pulling his hair out saying, they're coming after us. They're coming after us. Everybody run in the basement. No, the guy did the right thing. He didn't cause a panic. He was 100% all the way.
And finally, I want to ask both of you, this is the 19th anniversary of 9/11, and you're both from New York, in Rochester area, not right from the city itself, but just a thought, maybe starting with Angelo, any thoughts at all? Do you remember where you were at the time, et cetera?
I was actually, I had my third heart attack at the time.
Really?
Yes, I was in 2001, right?
Yes.
I was coming back from the doctor's office, and he says, I'm not signing the paperwork for you to go back. He says, you can let the young ones take over. He says, you'll be mad at me, I'm sure, but you'll thank me again when you're still alive.
Yeah. Wow.
And I stopped at the post office, in my office, where I thought I was going to go back to work. I was all set to go back to work. And I went back in. I went to work, and everybody's, panicking and going crazy. Like, we're coming under attack and everything. You know, brought TVs in and everything. What's going on? I didn't hear anything. I was driving back to work, you know. And that's when I saw, that's my thing of
11.
I was going back. I was expected to go back to work, you know.
And when that happened,
I had to settle the people down over there.
Oh, my God. Okay, Andrew, what was going on
with you? I could tell you exactly. I was cutting a gentleman's hair. His name was Mike Cariccio. He was a captain for Continental Airlines. He had just got in from Logan International Airport flying the red eye from Boston to Tampa. He got in at 8 o'clock. He was in my chair just about 8:45. The television was in front of us. I was cutting his hair, and we saw the plane flying into the tower. He jumped out of the chair and he says, something's going on. That's not even the flight pattern. You're not supposed to be anywhere near there. Then we saw what was going on. The second one came in. He says, we're under attack. I'll never forget that. He said, that could have been me on my flight. I was one flight out of there ahead of this one.
Wow. So okay. you were running your barbershop here in Tampa Bay.
I was in Tampa Bay. I was on 580 in the little corner store where I told you I started out.
Yes.
35 years ago. And I'll never forget that day. A captain from Continental Airlines sitting in my chair. One more flight, it would have been his plane.
Yeah.
It's amazing. It's amazing. Mm-hmm. And you know what really amazes me, Paul, is the people that forget about this. A lot of Americans totally forget about it. They go on about their mundane life, okay, and they forget about what's happening, and that's why this country is falling apart. The people need to wake up. They need to be American again and stop all this baloney that's going on.
Right, and if we ever think that we should cut back on police, just think about what the police and fire people did on that day in New York City and how many of them gave their lives to save other people's lives. So if we ever think, that our police and our fire are doing things or doing the wrong things, just remember 9/11. And how
it's ironic, Paul, that at this time they want to defund the police, and now we're celebrating, almost the 20th anniversary of 9/11?
Yep.
Can I just say one more thing,
Paul? Let me ask you guys one question. Since Donald Trump has been the president, have we had any more attacks in this country from ISIS, Hamas, or anybody?
No.
No. How many did we have when Mr. Obama was in?
Huh? Well, we had...
I can tell you probably about four.
Yeah.
Terrorist attacks. Have we had any in this country?
I can't think of any. Does that include, like, Fort Hood and stuff like that, where some of these nuts...
That's basically a terrorist attack, yeah. But it isn't like the Boston bombing.
No, we haven't had anything like that. Nuts. That's true.
And I can tell you, we've had nothing like this, and it's because of President Trump.
Yeah.
Believe me.
Okay. Angelo, final thought. Go ahead.
Okay, they with this Daniel Prude protesting and all these other things, they talk about treating mental health and this and that. Well, the first things they got to do is shut down the borders and stop. Most of these people who have these mental problems are people who are on drugs. There used to be a commercial. They'd show a fried egg, and then they show this is your brain, and this is your brain on drugs, a fried egg.
Right.
This guy, Daniel Prude, was high on drugs. They called, we got to have more mental health, we got to do this. Well, they got to stop the bringing of drugs into our country. And by doing
President Trump, I don't know if you noticed, the other day, over 400 tons, 400 tons of drugs.
Yeah, I tell you what, I hope all of the facts do come out. Because the more you learn, after everything settles down, it's usually in the defense and in the favor of our men in blue. I want to thank both of you.
Have a good weekend, Paul. Take care.
To the men in blue. To the men in blue, indeed. And thank you both for being on, and we'll be talking with you next week.
Thank you.
Thanks, Angelo. There they go. The brothers Sorese. All right, going to take our final break. A quick one. Very quick one. When we come back, dust off Wilbur the Duck.
Sugar. Oh, honey, honey.
This is the Tantalk Radio Network.
Hey guys, Andrew's Master Barbershop is open for business. The best haircutter in Tampa Bay, standing ready to make you look like a million. But you'll need to call to grab a time that's right for you. So call 733-3773. That's 733-3773. And then get ready for a treat. No waiting, beautiful, clean, and safe facilities. The best haircut you'll ever experience, and a great price. You can't ask for more, guys. That's Andrew's Master Barbershop in the Overcash Plaza in Dunedin. Call 733-3773. That's 733-3773.
Are you looking for some great restaurants? For some great wines? Where are the great chefs? Listen to Dine Out Radio Herd every Wednesday on the Tantalk Radio Network. 12 to 1 p.m., we'll tell you where all the great events are. We'll have Food and Wine Magazine and Bon Appetit Magazine. We'll have their editors and writers on each month. And maybe we'll throw in a couple surprises. Check out the website, diningoutradio.com.
My bridge is all.
This is the Tantalk Radio Network.
We are back. And by the way, if you can't listen to us live, you can always listen to us by going to our website, ourfreedomworks.com. O-U-R, ourfreedomworks.com, because Big Ed sets up all our shows on podcast. And just go to the top, click on podcast, find the show you want, and then away you go. All right. Well, in Michigan, in the Michigan School District, the Bedford Public Schools curriculum decided to put this question posed to their students. This is the perception of what Trump hates. Quote, that's what the question reads, followed by four multiple choice answers. One, he hates women. Two, he hates black people. Three, he hates Mexicans. And four, he hates all of the above.
Wow.
All of the, so, of course, all of the above was the correct answer. And if you put that one down on your, now, can you imagine? Well, the school district is now very red-faced about this whole thing. They said that it was taken from an app, should never have been inserted into the curriculum. Even a spokeswoman for the district was unable to identify the source of the quiz. There were apparently other questions that were also demeaning to Donald Trump. So for that, thank you, Wilbur.
I got one better.
Go ahead.
Los Angeles County schools.
Yeah.
I'm not going to go back to school until after the election.
Really?
Yeah.
Oh, that'll be great for the kids.
What that has to do
what
with
are they going
to
do?
What does that have to do with kids going back to school?
Nothing. It's stupid. No wonder the whole state of California is in such terrible, terrible trouble. But they got so many crazies out there right now. Mm-hmm. And then they got the fires going on, you know?
Yeah.
Did you know that 10% of Portland is evacuating? Of Oregon? The state of Oregon? Mm. There are 500,000 people in Oregon. Seriously. 10% of the state's population that are leaving their homes right now.
Because of the fire?
Yeah. Wow. Terrible. Okay. You know, the football season has started.
Mm.
And I watched a little bit of it, Ed, last night, the first game between the Kansas City Chiefs and the Houston Texans. And I'll be honest, I was rooting for the Chiefs mainly because the Texans wouldn't even take the field for the national anthem. I didn't like that at all. I know there were some in the Kansas City team that took a knee, but at least they were out there. So,
well, in June, I said that, on my Facebook page, which I know you don't do, but I said to put the whole thing over the anthem to rest, I said they should leave both teams in the locker room till the national anthem is over. This way you take out the option of having or the option of having to kneel or stand, and said after that, let them come out and let them go to the middle of the field, shake hands in unity, and do their thing. And that's what they did last night.
And it would have looked better had they done that. But since one team went out there and the other team was absent,
right,
it makes a huge...
I really think the NFL was testing it last night, because now the Dolphins have said they're going to do the same thing, stay in. Yeah.
Okay. Well, let's get to what's really most important, and that is the top 10 greatest football players. And Ed, I know you think you know who it is. I'm wondering if I should bet you some money. What do you think?
I don't know.
Since I know the answer.
Oh, do they have to be retired, or are they still playing?
I'm not going to say.
Oh, see?
I'm not going to say. We're talking about the greatest players. They might be playing now.
Okay.
All right?
All right.
So let's go. The top 10 greatest. New arena. Number 10, Mean Joe Green. Remember Mean Joe Green?
Yeah,
Pittsburgh Steelers. 6'4" defensive tackle.
Yeah.
He was mean. Number 9, Barry Sanders.
Absolutely. I think he should be higher.
Lightning in a bottle. You couldn't catch him. You know, he reached for him and he was gone.
That kid that plays for Kansas City last night is the next Barry Sanders.
Oh, my God. Barry Sanders was only 5'8".
I know.
No wonder you couldn't catch him.
But he would get small and you couldn't hit him.
He got even smaller, right. Number 8, Reggie White. The great Reggie White with the Dallas Cowboys, offensive tackle.
Reggie White.
Yeah, no, Reggie White.
Wait a minute, Reggie White.
Oh, no, Green Bay. What am I talking about?
I was going to say, yeah.
My apologies. Sorry, Green Bay. Reggie White from Green Bay. He was with all of those great teams that
started with the Eagles.
Wow. Okay, number 7, Peyton Manning.
Reggie White was not with Vince Lombardi.
Reggie White, okay.
Well, played with Brett Favre.
Oh, okay. Well, other than that, did I get him right?
Yeah, you got it.
All right, number 7 is Peyton Manning. What do you think?
Should be higher, but okay.
2-time Super Bowl winning quarterback. Great player. Great player. Number 6, Sweetness. You know who that was?
Walter Payton.
I think he was the greatest running back in many ways of them all, based on one particular game where they couldn't bring him down.
Mm-hmm.
He set all kinds of records. He danced his way to 110 rushing touchdowns, and he caught the ball. He was a good catcher.
Yeah.
All right, number 5, Lawrence Taylor. Oh, yeah. Remember him, New York Giants?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
One of the greatest linebackers of all time.
Yep.
And perhaps the scariest. Number 4, I happen to think this is the best quarterback of all time, but he ranks number 4 on the list, Joe Montana.
Any debatable.
Crickets from you.
Debatable.
You think so, huh?
I used to think he was the top, but then Peyton Manning came along and then some other guy.
Did you think Peyton Manning was better than Joe?
Yes, absolutely.
Okay. Number 3. Many consider him the greatest running back of all time, Jim Brown.
Wasn't my era, I couldn't tell you.
Mine neither, but he quit when he was at the top of his game to go into movies.
Mm-hmm.
That's what I can tell you. Number 2. I think there's no question this is the greatest receiver of all time, Jerry Rice.
Yeah, I'd agree.
Would
with
you
that.
Agree?
Yeah.
Near perfection in running his routes.
Mm-hmm.
He really was. All right, Ed, here we go. Who was or is the greatest NFL player of all time?
He is number 12. He did play for the Patriots. He does play for the Tampa Bay Buccaneers, and he will lead them to a victory this Sunday against the New Orleans Saints.
Okay, what's his name?
Tom Brady.
Oh, Tom Brady. Okay, here we go. Did you notice, Ed, that all of the players that I have mentioned all the way up here are retired?
Yes, I did.
You did.
Yeah.
So you think that Brady is number 1.
I think
one.
He should. Yeah.
Okay.
Because of his age. But go ahead.
You are right.
Thank you.
Tom Brady, greatest NFL player of all time, almost perfect as a quarterback, and we got him here in Tampa Bay. All right. Thank you for joining us.
Try to trick
me. Be safe this weekend. We'll be back on Monday. And remember, freedom works.
WTAN Clearwater
FM 106.1
WDCF Dade City
FM 106.1